Hey, y'all. Welcome to Latte and Laundry. I'm Suzanne Bilodeau, and I am so honored to be with you here as we navigate motherhood, wifehood, sisterhood, and everything in between. This is a podcast for my fellow imperfect people who want to grow in greater communion with our most perfect God. So join me and my friends as we laugh, cry, dive deep, and explore with one another as we journey towards stilling our souls while moving our world. Hi, my lovely friends. Welcome back to another episode here at Latte and Laundry. I am feeling so relaxed this afternoon. This is the time of year. It's May, mid-May here, and it's the time of year where I start to get really low-key and relaxed with any formal learning. And I just love to romp and play and get out in the sun. And I was just speaking to some of my friends over the weekend, some of my girlfriends, asking them, and they were in complete agreement with me, that doesn't make a massive difference for you when you've been out in the sun for a number of days, when the sun has been shining. Because up in Connecticut, I feel like we've had a lot of cloudy gray days over this winter and the start of the spring. And now I'm starting to have some days of sunshine, and I am delighting in it. So much so that this morning, my bottom four and I went to the beach for adventures and romping and playing. And it's not the kind of weather yet that you can go dive into the water. It'd be wicked cold. But it's definitely the type that you could just explore, dig, bury yourselves in the sand, play some adventurous games, mess around. And we did that this morning. And that was just a really great way for my kids and I to just delight and play without any formal structure, without any having to get through some checklists and activities. And instead, it was just really fun to delight in adventure. So now we're back. The baby's napping, and I am just finding myself having a relaxing afternoon as I'm sipping a decaf iced latte and getting on here to chat with you guys. So let me kick us off with our opening Bible verse today, which is Genesis 16:13, which says, "You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me." Okay, you guys, if that isn't any indication, any hint about what we might be talking about today, I want to talk about just the importance of being seen. Now, we talked last week about allowing ourselves to be loved. And this is in a different way in which the heart has this great desire to be seen. And it's something that I've become so aware of, specifically in my motherhood too, as I look out on my babes, especially as a mama of six kids. Whether you have one or you have 10 children, it doesn't really matter. This great innate desire that we were born with to be seen has been imprinted into the hearts of each and every one of our children. So I know that part of my calling as mama to these little souls is to allow them to find rest in knowing they are seen. Because as the rest of the world will race by them, there is security in knowing that mama and dad see them. And that will ultimately lead them to understand the greatness of whose gaze never stops looking upon them, which is that of God himself. So this a little bit touches into what we talked about last week, but it's funny because I am part of a story group my girlfriend Beth got me into, and it's been phenomenal. It's like it's a really, really, really powerful way to move through some of your stories from your past, from your childhood, places in which you've been wounded or have left really big marks on your heart. And it's one of those things that's always really hard to explain. I even have a hard time sometimes explaining to my husband why this story group is so powerful for me. But it's something I've been doing for the last few months, and I am so blessed by it. And as one of the last closing times that we get together as a story group, it's myself and five other people, and it's led by, six other people, but one of them is really the leader of the group who does a lot of work with story groups with people. And one of the last things we do for the end of our meeting, of our sessions, is to pour out blessings upon one another. And it can be anything from an object or a word or whatever the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart that speaks deeply into each specific person in your story group. And as I was praying about this for the people in my story group, there was one which God just kept putting this idea in my heart of their need to be seen. Gaze was the word he kept putting on my heart, that he sees them. And I just was like praying and reflecting on this. And as I was doing this, the story of Hagar came to my mind. And if anybody doesn't remember, Hagar is, she is a big character in the story of Sarah and Abraham, especially before they were, when they were Sarai and Abram, right? And she was a servant of Sarai's, or Sarah. I want to just say Sarah and Abraham for simplicity's sake. And she was a servant, and Sarah was not conceiving a child. So she told Abraham to have Hagar. And when take her in bed so that he could conceive a child and create an heir, because he was not getting one with his wife, Sarah. Then Hagar became pregnant. And she was really upset with Sarah for giving her over to Abraham. And when Sarah became so upset by the situation, probably both by regretting her decision for handing Hagar over, right? What bride really wants to do that and give that someone over to their spouse? But also because her servant was now upset with her, she got also very upset and distraught with the situation. And ultimately, she begins mistreating Hagar. Who was turned, like, think of the agony of Hagar. You're serving this woman. You are purchased as a slave, as a servant. And you are serving this woman who then hands you over to her husband so that you can become pregnant and create an heir for him. That's already a deep sorrow in the heart of Hagar. But then you're being mistreated by the woman who did this and made that decision, right? So she ultimately is so deeply saddened and with great sorrow that she runs away. And as she runs away and leaves Abraham and Sarah, an angel of the Lord comes to her. And he tells her to go back and submit to her master, and that she's promised that she will have many descendants. And there's this quote, it says, "The angel of the Lord said to her, 'You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery.' So she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees me.' For she said, 'I have now seen the one who sees me.'" This is Hagar, y'all, running away from the life that she knew as the servant to Sarah. In great agony and sorrow, "I'm now pregnant with my master's husband's child, and she's mistreating me." She was left almost in this state, abandoned and alone, and about to carry this child. But the angel of the Lord comes and says that the Lord has heard of your misery. And what does Hagar call him? She calls him, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." And really, in Hebrew, that word is El Roy. That is the name of God, the God who sees me. And this, you guys, is what I want to talk about today. A God who sees. It's a continuation, a little bit, of my topic where I realized just the heartache of so many women, so many mamas specifically, who feel isolated and alone. That's one of the crosses of motherhood, is you often can be surrounded by so many other women and children and the mayhem and the busyness of life, but the deep places of your heart can often feel unseen. Because as you're tending diapers, and you're cooking meals, and you're doing laundry, or you're running errands, or you're dropping the kids off to school, or whatever it is, you often feel very isolated and alone in these experiences in your heart, right? And so we talked last week about letting the Lord love you. And one of the first places that we can do that, and one of the first ways that we can do that, is to recognize that God sees me. Just as Hagar, in her deep sorrow and agony, was reminded that God sees her misery, so too he sees our miseries and our heartaches and our sorrows and our fears. He rejoices with us in our joy, and he wipes away the tears and has sadness with us in our sorrow, right? So I think, as I have been really recognizing this need on my heart and on the heart of women who I encounter through this ministry and through this podcast, I continuously encounter women who just share that same sentiment, y'all, of not being seen, of feeling like they're the only ones struggling with whatever it is they're struggling with. And I think it's just so critical to be reminded. And this is something that I think of when I think of my children too, especially as I have many. This importance of being seen, right? And there's this quote from Psychology Today that says, feeling seen by others is a basic human need. Its basis is evolutionary. All right, y'all, this is from the beginning of man that this was an important part of a need and a desire in the human person. And it says, if your tribe didn't see you, there was a risk you'd be left behind when the nomadic life of early humans dictated they move. And being alone literally equated to death. If other tribes didn't see and respect you in your tribe, they were likely to invade your territory, take your resources, and leave you and your family to die. In the ancient part of our brains, not being seen is equivalent to being sentenced to death. Okay. We can see how we have this ingrained need to be seen by others. And that is true, my friends, and especially true for the little people in our home, right? And that doesn't mean that you're just physically there, right? Being seen doesn't mean that you're physically there, right? Because we know as strong believers that Christ is always with us, right? You can sit back and you can think about that. But this is not just about being physically seen. It's not just that our presence, if you're a stay-at-home mom or you're really present in your children's life, it's not just about physically seeing them, but it's seeing who they are, seeing the depths of their heart and for them to know it. And it can be really hard and tricky. You're like, Suzanne, wait a minute. I don't have 2 hours a day with each one of my children. I don't even have 45 minutes or 15 minutes with each one of my children to sit and make sure that their hearts know they are seen. And my friends, I deeply relate to this sentiment because this is a struggle of my own, which is why I have done things like implement special time, right? Where on the anniversary of my child's birth date of the month, so if they were born on the 9th, then we try on the 9th of every month to have special time with that child. And that's my husband or myself with that child doing something as simple as coming with me on an errand and we'll pick up a hot cup of coffee and it's just a hot cup of cocoa and it's just me and you and we get to chat. Because getting that alone chatting time, mom, with her actual presence, not on her phone paying a bill or teaching a lesson to one of her siblings, but actual conversational presence is critical. Sometimes it's super exciting. Sometimes we take them out for a special dinner. Or sometimes once a year with my 14-year-old, which the two of us will be having a podcast interview together. I'm excited about that. But once a year, we always do an overnight, me and her. We've been doing it for the last 4 years, and I'm planning to do it with each one of my girls when they turn 10, and then we'll keep that up traditionally annually. And sometimes maybe we'll combine the sisters together because that would be really fun, a mama and daughter's trip. But for now, it's just me and my teen, and we do an overnight, a quick 24 hours once a year where we really can just relax together, delight together, laugh together, go deep together, and get a lot of mama and daughter time. And my husband kind of does the same thing with my boys, but they take an annual trip, the three of them, my husband, my 12-year-old son, and my 10-year-old son. And so there's just this great need, right? And I heard this quote once, and I've mentioned it on the podcast. I might have mentioned it like maybe 2 or 3 times. I don't even remember. And I might butcher the quote slightly, but it's this thing I heard on the Adam Young podcast, if you've never heard his podcast, which is, oh gosh, what's the name of the podcast? Everyone who is listening that knows that podcast is probably like saying it into their phones right now or wherever you're listening to this. But Adam Young has this great podcast. Just search it. You'll find it. And he had this quote once I heard on an episode that he said, everyone entered the world looking for someone who was looking for them. Our children need to know that we are seeking their hearts. And that does not mean that you have to be on guard all of the time, making sure, right? Like, there's that piece of us that can be led by fear, which my sister Julia and I talked about in that episode on fear and motherhood, that is not free and not really what God desires for our motherhood hearts. But it is important that our children know that we are looking for them and looking at them, not just through them and over them for the next task that we need to get done. And one of the ways, besides this monthly special time thing that I do with my children, one of the ways that I do this, I don't know, it started probably like 4 or 5 years ago, and we've been doing it now for a while, and my kids love it, is, you know, the, maybe you don't know it, but I'm pretty sure most people know the sign language sign for I love you, right? Which is your thumb, your pointer finger, and your pinky up, and the other two fingers down, your middle finger and your ring finger down, and you hold that up, and it's an I love you sign. And so I could be throughout the day and I could be washing dishes and I could see my girls running and playing, my little three. So I have like I call them the big three and the little three. My big three, my 14-year-old daughter, my 12-year-old son, and my 10-year-old son, Madeline, Noah, and Jean David. And then my bottom three, Bernadette, Colette, and Brigitte. And so those three are 7, 5, and 2. And so I could see those little three running around. And what my life looks like now as a mama of 6 kids homeschooling looks really different than when it did when I had my first three when they were 7 or 6, 4, and 2, right? I didn't start homeschooling, you guys, until my oldest, who's 14, was 9. So I've been doing about 5 years now. And when she would go off to school or my 3 or 4 year olds would go off to preschool, I'd be home having this dedicated time. I'd call it like special time with mama. We would have hot cocoa and read books with the toddler. A lot of that has been, in as much as I know, homeschooling has been the greatest blessing for our family personally and what God has called my family to. There's also parts of it that are hard, like feeling like you might miss your toddlers in ways that you have that quality time. And so I'm trying to be really intentional about snuggling, about having them come sit on my lap, about nighttime reading books and laying in bed with them. And some seasons, you guys, I'm really good at it. And some seasons I'm really bad at it, depending on the mayhem of our life. But the intentionality is always in my heart. And one of the things I started doing years ago, when I'd see my little people run around, and I do it with my big people too, I even do it with my husband, but it started as an intentionality with my little people, is to send them the little I love you sign. So they'll run by and I'll say, Bernadette. And she'll like stop really quick as if I'm going to like go tell her to do a chore or go ask her to grab something or whatever. And then I'll look at her and I'll just make the little I love you sign. And then she like fills up with joy and says right back at me, sends me the little I love you sign, and then takes off running again. And every once in a while, like one of the things is my boys alter serve, right? And so every once in a while, I'll see them up there and they'll look at me during peace and I'll send them the little I love you sign. And so that's something that I constantly do. I'll say, hey, Maddie. And she'll look over at me in the middle of doing her school and I'll just send her the I love you sign. I'll just hold up my hand. That's a wink from mama. That's a message that says, I see you. Not for what you accomplish, not for what you need to get done for me, not for the checklist of things that I have in the back of my mind that we need to get done, you and me and this child, in terms of just completing tasks, homeschooling, activities, paperwork to be filled out, all the things. But just an I see you. I see your heart. I see your goodness. You are loved. I love you. And I know that seems so simple. Holding up this little I love you sign, you guys, sounds so simple. But I think it's little I love you winks as this that are powerful for our children's hearts to remember they are seen, right? Can you imagine if you're running through the mayhem of your day, whether you're in joy or you're in sorrow, whether you're in stressed or you're laughing, and you heard a quick Suzanne or whatever your name is from the Lord and a little I love you sign. Like he's just taking note of you and delighting in you. That's powerful for the soul. And so I'm constantly trying to pay attention to the ways that I can remind my children they are seen and known by the parents God has given them. And I will, like I said, this is not something I am perfect at. I am constantly calling myself through prayer, and God opens my heart in prayer to remember. But as I was in my story group and I was praying for this one girl who I adore, and I realized so much of her story and her message is that her story didn't matter and that she is not seen. God kept putting this message of Elroy, gaze, the God who sees, in my mind. And it reminded me of this need for my own heart, the hearts of all of us women, to know how much we are seen by our Heavenly Father. And to also be an instrument of reminding our children of that same constant gaze from the heart of their parents, which is just a conduit of the love and constant attention from their Heavenly Father, right? So let's talk about a couple other ways in which we can be that instrument of God's gaze for the hearts of our children. Right, I gave that example of the little I love you hand thing. Surprise your kid. Do it in the middle of, like, they'd be totally unexpected when they think mom is going to call them and ask them to go clean their room, or mom's attention is asking them to get in the car because we got to go. Surprise them with that just, hey, I see you, little I love you wink, right? also, one of the things that I was just talking about, I gave a talk for a mom's group, and Dorothy Pilarski, who founded that, was there attending it as well. And one of the things during the talk that I gave, and I was just talking about the importance of our children, their hearts being completely, like, it related to the Red Heart series. If you guys haven't heard my Red Heart series, I think it was last fall. Red standing for something, where I talk deeply in terms of this message God kept putting in my heart, this importance of mothering with a red heart. R-E-D standing for receive, embrace, disciple. And she was talking about, and she also chimed in and was talking about the importance of eye contact. And the more I've paid attention and research and all these things that my heart has been flooded with, the more I've realized how important that really is, eye contact. And we know that, right? Like, we can say that, but do we actually give our kids that? So often than not, I think one of the hard things is maybe you're a mama that never scrolls social media, or maybe you scroll all the time, or maybe you don't really like do much by, I call it life wasting. If I'm on my phone doing something like just scrolling and being on my phone for no intentional purpose other than just wasting time or killing dead air, I call it life wasting. So if you find yourself life wasting on your phone, which many of us can fall privy to, or maybe you're not. One of the things I said that was super dangerous about just the way our world functions now is so much can be accomplished on our phone. You guys, I pay every single bill from my phone. I don't write out checks. When I have to write out a check, I'm like, wait, what's happening? I have to write out a check, right? Like, I pay every bill from my phone. I contact the tutors. So my older two, I think I've talked about it on here, my older two go to a classical a hybrid academy where, like, we still homeschool, but my older two are tutored by tutors. It's all moms that all do the same curriculum, are still tutored by people 2 days a week, and it's awesome because they get that, like, school, I'm older feeling, social environment with their friends, but we still get to homeschool and delight in adventure. But I do all my communication on email through that. I even have, like, our weekly planners for what we want to do for homeschooling on my phone. Like, so much of this I should probably just print out and not keep on my phone. My point being that I'm often on my phone, not life wasting at all, but simply handling the tasks I need to do. Got a bill from the doctor's office. I gotta pay it real quick. I have to call the dentist, make another appointment. I have to respond to this tutor about this thing for one of my kids. I have to look up what I'm gonna cook for dinner tonight. The phone is amazing because it's made so many of these things simple in a one-stop shop. Get it all on your phone. But that often leads to having our faces in devices way more than I think is healthy, and that is good for the little people who are looking up at us. So when they're asking me questions and they're saying things, do I pause? Do I put the phone down, even if I was doing something important like emailing a teacher? Do I say, hold on, or do I say, yeah, and I look over their heads and they know that mom's not really, our kids are wiser than I think we give them credit for, even when they're tiny. They know when you are not giving them your full attention. And our kids don't need our full attention all the time, right? Like, that would not be healthy for them if they didn't learn how to be independent or play with their siblings or go be creative and allow themselves to be bored and adventure. However, giving them that eye contact when we are having real conversation or something they want to bring to our attention is so important. And give that eye contact to others, right? One of the things I've heard that I love so much from people is that they can tell homeschooling families because the kids typically give the adults eye contact, right? I'm in the mess of it, and I often don't realize the beauty of some of these, the fruits of the homeschooling life. I've heard from so many people about my teenage daughter that she's unlike other teenagers they know. She babysits for, like, so many families around here. And they're like, we don't know. Like, she talks to us and looks us in the eye, and she's so enjoyable, and she takes delight in babysitting for the kids. And she's also just a regular teen, you guys. Like, she loves certain music, and had like her prom at her co-op, and that's excited about fashion and doing her hair. She's just like every other teenager, but she has this way about her. And one of those things that she does that's powerful is eye contact. And so like that goes so hand in hand for us. Do we give that back eye contact to our children? And do we do give that to other people when they're speaking to us? One of the ways that I often really struggle, and it's something I desire to grow in, is remembering people's names. The power of remembering people's names will allow them to feel seen. Have you ever known those people? So there's some people that are amazing at this. You pass them once or twice in a soccer setting where there's tons of families and parents, and you don't know all the families and parents, but there's that one person that you've met them once like 4 months ago, and as you pass them, they're like, "Hey, Suzanne," and you're like, "Oh my gosh, they remember my name. I have no idea what their name is." That's powerful. You feel seen. The power of remembering people's names is big, right? So of course we're going to remember our baby's names, our kiddos' names, the people we love's names. But it's also really a powerful way to allow others to feel the touch of Christ by remembering their name. We could do a whole episode on the power of names. There's these, one of the co-ops that me and my kids do, it's an enrichment one. We often, and not every time, but it's in a town that we're not typically in. And so we'll run into, maybe as we drive by, one or two people that are looking for money, homeless, or I'm not always so sure that they're homeless, but they're out with signs looking for money. And whenever we stop to, we've often carried around bags of things to give to these people as we would pass them, or give them some food we might have, or money or whatever it is, we always ask their name. And then when we see them again, we pray for them by name. When we see them again and we call, we say, "Hey, Jack," their eyes light up in a different way than it's, "Hey, I remember you," I think, to know that they matter and then they have dignity, right? It's that need to be seen is so powerful. And then there's this other quote by Psychology Today that says, "It is no surprise that humans are social creatures. Evolutionarily, humans found that they were more likely to survive in groups, sharing food and skills. There's also evidence that we have evolved to desire groups for our psychological and physiological well-being. We desire friendship, companionship, and romantic relationships for a myriad of psychological needs. When we are isolated and lonely or feel like we are, research shows tremendous negative impacts on our physical and mental health." When we feel alone, it has this powerful ability to make us feel the heaviness and the darkness. And that's why remembering we are seen by God, Elroy, the God who sees me, is really, really critical for our hearts. And to be a taste and a touch of that for our kids so they know they are seen. We know their heart struggles, what their unmet desires are, where they've had sorrow in their hearts, the things they really rejoice over. Like, I have one of my girls who's obsessed with frogs. I delight in that, right? Like, that specific thing about that specific child. I see you and I know you. Another one who's obsessed with all things Marvel characters and martial arts. And I see you and I know you. Another who's obsessed with science experiments, right? I could go on and on. It's just powerful. They do not feel alone, and they should not feel that in the safety of their own homes, right? So this is just an invitation for all of us to remember we have a God who sees us, and to prayerfully discern how we can be the ones for the first taste of that for our kids' hearts, to know they are seen, intimately and beautifully seen. So, my friends, let me close this up in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I thank you and I praise you so much that no matter what, whether we're running away from the troubles of our lives like Hagar once did, that we cannot run away from your gaze. You are always consistently and endlessly Elroy, the God who sees. I pray that you will breathe beauty and goodness into our hearts so we can be built up with the truth of knowing our children and seeing them deeply. So that when the mayhem and the craziness and the busyness of our lives ensues, that they will know that Mama sees them. Even if it's just that quick, I love you wink today, they'll know that they are not alone and that we can be that conduit of God's ceaseless gaze upon them. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, y'all. This has been a delight and a treat. And I am praying. I'm actually praying through which summer book we should do. This, I have two. I have gotten some amazing emails. And I'm so sorry for those who have emailed me book suggestions that I have not emailed you back. It's been a little bit of a crazy, hectic time for me. To be honest, my friends, I'm finding it harder and harder to find time to do these podcast episodes. But I will make it happen because I delight in them. I've always said this to my husband, I never feel like I need to put out an episode for the sake of putting out an episode. But like, I constantly have things straight out of my heart that I want to talk to you guys. And it's just the physicality of being able to sit down and record without little people on my lap or crazy things I have to get done. And I'm sure you all can relate. So I apologize for my lack of email response lately, but I am always blessed to hear from you guys. It always delights my heart more than you guys will probably even know. So I'm praying about two specific books. If you guys want to send me emails with a vote, I'm not sure if I'll be able to respond back, but I would love two of the ones that were suggested to me by my sweet friend. I think Stephanie suggested both of them. I don't know. But I am praying through two books, In the School of the Holy Spirit and Time for God. I think they're both Jacques Philippe books. I don't know. I have so many of his books, but I think they both are. So please let me know your thoughts if there's one you prefer more. I have been leaning towards Time for God because I've been struggling personally in this way, but I also love In the School of the Holy Spirit. It's such a powerful and important book. So let me know your guys' feedback on that if you want. But in the meantime, I will be praying for you, and please pray for me, and I cannot wait to catch up with you guys next week. God bless. Bye.